Welcome to Eating is a Lifestyle with registered dietitians Toby Page
and Meredith Kleinhens. If you are stressed about food and nutrition, we are here for you. We will talk about real life examples of how to eat well and enjoy life with food.
Along the way, we'll break down stigmatizing diet culture. We'll share our stories and evidence-based information so you can make the best decisions for yourself and the ones you love. This podcast is not intended to replace medical advice, and we strongly recommend you talk to a registered dietitian if you have any concerns about your diet or your relationship with food.
Thank you for joining us.
I wanted to show you these things that I came across after our conversation last time. Uh-huh. And I got a subscription from one of those online food subscription things where they mail you food.
Okay.
And I picked out what looked like their brand of Pringles, you know?
Uh-huh.
Pringles chips in the can, the tall can. So I get it and it's like all taste, no guilt. And I thought, oh, cool. I don't have to feel guilty when I eat these. I wonder why I should feel guilty in the first place, right? So
I
thought that was really cute.
Am I supposed to feel bad about eating these?
I know, it was like, oh, I guess no guilt. You know, I don't know what that even's supposed to be meaning. Like, why should I not feel guilty about these ones? And I can't tell, really.
Yeah, what's morally superior about these particular sprayed potato chips?
There's a little message from the creator that just says, I wanted to make something I felt good about giving my kids. So I created these guilt-free chips.
Are you holding it right there? Do you have it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's like, I don't really understand. There's nothing on here that says why I shouldn't feel guilty. Nor does it say why I should maybe feel guilty eating other chips shaped like that. So then I also got this. I don't do salads much. I'm just not really much of a salad person, especially in the winter, you know.
Oh yeah.
Not my jam. But I was thinking that something I was serving was going to go really well with a Caesar salad. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, you know, a good Caesar salad has croutons. And so I thought, gosh, I don't think I've ever bought croutons before, but you know, I'm on this online click here, click there, add to my basket kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I see these croutons and I'm like, oh, good. Oh, look at that. That's easy. Croutons. So I get them and turns out they are 100% yum and 0% guilt.
Wow.
Yeah. Like all this non-guilty food came.
I'm so relieved. For you.
I mean, I have just had no guilt with all this food they've sent me. I just thought it was pretty funny. Anyway, I wanted to show you those.
Yeah, that messaging is everywhere.
Yeah, it's when you really start looking for it, it's like, oh my gosh, over and over. All right. So today we were going to talk about moderation, right?
We were going to talk about moderation, and I think, you know, I think the best way to kind of talk about it is by discussing this question about the right way to eat.
Well, you should buy food items that say no guilt on them. If the packaging says no guilt, that's probably you're on the right track, right?
Yeah, that sounds...
No, what do you mean? Okay, so the right way to eat. There's a lot of ways we eat.
Yeah, so my answer to that question would be it depends. In the most non-committal fashion, right? Because it depends on what you need. Do you have health concerns to factor in? What do you like? What do you have access to? What are your goals? And so the question, despite how much we would all like to just be handed the answer in the newest book, the book written 30 years ago about that, this, that, or whatever diet, it really isn't that simple. And we kind of know that in the end, I think, because we continue to see new and flashier attempts or solutions all the time, right? We're always looking for the newest idea because maybe that's the key. And at the end of the day, it isn't that simple.
Well, intermittent fasting, this makes me think of intermittent fasting. And I always say, well, you know, intermittent fasting is great for those folks who really aren't hungry when they first wake up. And so if you were to ask me, is intermittent fasting the right way to eat? And then your answer is, well, it depends. And I would say, yeah, it depends on how you feel in the morning. If your tummy needs a little time to wake up, then maybe you should let your tummy wake up for a little bit. Now, purposefully withholding food from yourself because you read in a book that intermittent fasting would, make all your dreams come true, and sitting there with your tummy grumbling and you can't think about anything else and you can't do anything else, I wouldn't say that this is the right way to eat for that person.
Absolutely. When the rules you've put upon yourself make you more preoccupied with food and, oh, I can't wait till it's 8:01 p.m. when I get to eat, or whatever the time is that cognitive set point we've determined that you're allowed to eat at, then is that the right way to eat?
Right. And, another example, I remember being at the Portland Apple Festival. I don't know if you've ever been to the Apple Festival in Portland. It's at the Portland Nursery, I think. Super fun. Never knew there were that many different types of apples. So that was fun. And I remember a woman saying, well, I can't eat right now. It wasn't in her window of eating. And so she couldn't enjoy the apple tasting because it wasn't within the window of the rules of her, her rules of the right way to eat. I felt bad for her.
Yes. When I think about it, I think about, because I work with elders in my day job, and occasionally I work with people who are in their triple digits, and that's really special.
Wow.
When you meet someone who's 100, 102, 103. And when I think about it, I'm like, but what if it's grandma's 103rd birthday and it's your fasting day? You're not going to have her cake, you know? I just really like things that you can do for a really long time and forever. And for some people, intermittent fasting is going to be that thing that works for them, right? The person who isn't hungry until noon anyway. And for those of us that get hungry sooner, is it the right way? You know, any of us can do anything for a period of time, but what really works is the thing we can do forever. And if you are one of the folks who can do intermittent fasting for the rest of your life, that's great. That's for you. And for those of us who can't, you're not a failure because of it. It's just you haven't found the way that matches the reality of your life, because it also eventually all those strict rules, we can't keep up with them because our real life has to sink in. We can't ignore everything else.
And right. And I think intermittent fasting helps us be more mindful, because it's like, oh gosh, I would normally be eating right now. And so it makes us be more mindful about who we are in our day. And so I think there, that's kind of a positive in the beginning. And then you can kind of discover, am I somebody who, really enjoys being fueled up a little sooner in the day or later in the day? I work with people who are looking to lose weight, and, intermittent fasting, it talks about that that's one of the great benefits. And it's like, well, if the rules are you're not allowed to eat after dinner, which is normally when you would get into the snacks and the extras and the fun foods and the comfort foods and things like that, and then you end up not eating those, then I can see how that would lead to weight loss. But like what you're saying is, but why are you eating, why are you drawn to eating those things in the first place, and maybe addressing that and going, oh, maybe you're hungry.
Yeah, I think that if we can look at the way we eat from more of an objective, out of curiosity, and more like an anthropologist, and not beat ourselves up for, oh, I said I wasn't going to eat after 8 p.m., but dang, I did a big bike ride and I'm really starving, and then eat, of just observing, like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That is why I'm eating there. And even those times when we're eating and we're not hungry, but it's an emotional thing, or oh, I've got a hankering for X, Y, or Z. Just the acknowledgement of the habit, I think, is helpful. And trying to separate ourselves from the notion of being good or bad based on it, just developing an awareness so that then you know, oh, I am doing this. Do I intend to be doing this? And that opportunity to, what could I do instead? If I'm not really hungry, could I put time between the thought of eating or the habit I've got of eating at this time and the act of doing it? And maybe I won't really want to eat, or maybe I still will, but I made a conscious choice about it. I think that raising our consciousness about our habits is the first key to making a
Step
change,
one.
right? If you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to know to change it,
Yeah,
or if
we
it's
always
positive or
start with
negative.
what I call awareness. We need you to be aware of yourself. I think when people come to work with me, we start with hunger and fullness as the first step of what to be aware of. But then we end up really putting more detail around what are we being aware of besides hunger and fullness. Energy, mood, other reasons that you find yourself wanting to eat. So just that awareness piece, being aware of yourself, and really, I think the hard part for a lot of people is trusting that. Like, okay, I'm aware of my hunger, and Meredith, when people spend half their life trying to restrict food and ignore their hunger as if it's this terrible, terrible thing that if I felt hungry, I might eat the whole world, because that's happened before. When I got real hungry, I ate so much. Don't trust your body to say that, you're not done yet, because according to my diet plan, we're done. Or to trust and have faith in getting hungry and not being afraid of getting hungry.
I really like in the intuitive eating workbook, the exercise they have you do around interoceptive awareness, which is, tuning into your biological signals, right? And one of the things they talk about is, well, you know when you need to go to the bathroom, right?
Yep.
And you want to honor that, or things could get messy. So allowing yourself to trust, that your body can tell you when you're hungry and when you're full. I mean, we can all relate to that notion of needing to go to the bathroom. And so for folks who don't know what hunger and fullness feel like anymore, kind of getting that attunement, like, oh yeah, I recognize other body signals, so I can learn, relearn to listen to these.
Right. That brings up another point, that hunger signals don't always feel the same for everybody. And so I've talked to people who say, gosh, I have a lot of stomach aches, for one example. I have a lot of stomach aches, and so it's really hard for me to tell if I'm hungry because my stomach kind of always hurts. And so, hunger to me. And so we talk about things like, well, when I'm hungry, food just sounds better, looks better, smells better. What are some other signals that maybe your energy is running low? Are you maybe zoning out, not able to concentrate very well? Getting fidgety instead of sticking to the task. Maybe that's your brain saying, hey, we should take a break and go eat something. So those other body signals that aren't just coming from the organ of my stomach, right?
Yeah, that's great. I was just in this leadership training, and the speaker was talking about what he called HABEs, so habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations. And it was so applicable. It was around leadership, but it's so applicable to making changes to for health reasons or whatever. And I really like the image that he put in our mind, which was, and it goes along with the notion of there are no good and bad foods, and there aren't really good and bad habits, attitudes, beliefs, expectations. It's more like think about the wings, an airplane, the wings of an airplane, and is it positive or negative? Are you going in the direction you want to be going with those habits, etc., or is it taking you away from where you're trying to go? And I think that image is really helpful when we're looking at things, and again, not judging good or bad, but is it getting me where I want to be going?
Right. Well, I mean, that's a tough one because, where am I going is a big question, I think, for a lot of people, that could use some readdressing. Because where I'm going in the minds of most of the folks that I talk to is I want to shrink my body and lose weight. And so if you were to say, well, is eating these no guilt crisps, tipping my airplane toward that direction, I would say no. I would say that the eating chips, whether they say no guilt on them or not, doesn't tip my airplane toward weight loss goals.
Yeah, I think it gets really complicated when the goal is a number and not when it's a specific number and not necessarily health behaviors. And right, all and it's even deeper and more complicated, having two of those chips, whether they're no guilt or regular.
Guilt
It's
pill.
all it all gets so complicated, and maybe you just really needed to have a couple of those so that you could feel satisfied and move on from that flavor you were looking for.
Yeah, so funny thing about these chips is I popped open the can at lunchtime and I had all sorts of things going on and these chips were part of it. And I put the first one in my mouth, and oh my gosh, they're so good. They're like really, really good. I was like, wow, these are really, really good. And so I put a, another one in my mouth and another one, another one. I kept eating them, and I thought, whoo, man, these things are just kind of, they can just go down. It's very easy to eat a lot of these. And so I thought consciously, okay. My mouth has been entertained. I've got my leftovers from last night, which is the main entree of my lunch here. If I feel like I'm really going crazy on these chips, maybe I should reach over and grab an apple or an orange and maybe have some of that first. So, as a dietitian, I'm going, okay, I'm gonna tip my airplane over and have a piece of fruit, and I'm gonna dip over and have a couple chips. But if I feel like I'm having more chips than is maybe a good idea for me, then I'll tip, and make a different choice. Okay, so that's how a dietitian approached the can of chips. So the dietitian's husband approached the can of chips. So the story about that is we were out shopping, and it was like 3:30 in the afternoon, and he says, "What's for dinner?" And I was like, "Oh, we're already thinking about dinner, okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm really hungry." And I'm like, "Oh, well, gosh, you should probably have a snack because I don't think dinner is going to be for several hours. And if you're telling me you're hungry right now, like you should probably have a snack, right?" So we get home and he goes to the pantry and he grabs the canister of chips and he's eating his chips and eating his chips. And I'm like, "Hey, those are really good, aren't they?" And he goes, "Yeah, they really are, man." And we joked and talked a little bit about the no guilt thing, but I said, "You know, I know you're feeling really hungry, and I just want to let you know that you could probably eat that whole can of chips and still feel hungry because those chips don't actually make people feel full. They are really just for fun in your mouth." And I know you're actually really hungry, and so maybe you want to have something all as well, you know, in addition to your chips. So bless his heart, he says, "Oh, I think I'll have an apple." So that would probably fill you up more than those chips would. So whether you're the dietitian or the dietitian's husband, I guess, how do we find moderation? How do we not eat too many chips?
Yeah, I think that paying attention, right? Again, it's the conscious eating and eating without distraction and enjoying them, and so that you can actually taste them, right? Because when we tune out, we're not tasting them, and before we know it, we've finished the can.
Right, and tasting them, each one of them was really good. And I could eat definitely a lot of those chips. And chips are not good or bad, but they may not align with my health goals. What if I have high blood pressure? And well, these are pretty low in sodium, actually, and that maybe that's why they're so non-guilty. But I'm worried about my sodium, and so I think, well, gosh, you know, I probably shouldn't be eating these chips because they're high in sodium, but they're really good and I want them. So is it okay? You know, I'm coming to the dietitian. Is it okay for me to eat these chips?
I'm gonna say that there are no good, like all foods can fit. You know, if you're thinking about needing to moderate your salt intake, I tend to take a really long lens. Like any one meal or snack isn't gonna ruin you, but it's over the course of the day, over the week, and educating yourself to look so that you can make those informed choices.
So, you know, it
How do
comes
you
down
approach it?
to how often can I have chips? That's a question, right? How often? Okay, so the chips aren't good or bad, but you know, if I'm supposed to be eating these chips in moderation because of my high blood pressure, what does that mean? What does it mean? How often can I eat these chips? And then I think that the sister question to that is, how much of these chips can I eat? So how much and how often are questions, and maybe it's not high blood pressure because, you know, if medical conditions aside, you know, your average healthy person, how much chips and how often?
Well, I think that's where it can be helpful to talk about guidelines, right? So, not as hard and fast, but as information so that you've got a barometer, right? Like, okay, eating around 3 grams of salt or less in a day. So, what does that mean if you're breaking it up between 3 meals? around 600 or something like that, with room for snacks. So that you've got these things in your mind as a reference, but not a dictum. But I'd love to hear how you say this, because the people I work with don't really have control over their food. And so they don't know how much salt is in their food. They can decide the quantity of what they eat, but not the content of what they eat. So how do you
Right.
approach this with people who do have control?
So yeah, since we're talking about these chips, let's talk about foods that fall in the same category. I call them more maybe fun foods. Just fun foods that I eat just for fun. They're not part of my breakfast, lunch, dinner routine. They're just for fun. So these things include chips and ice cream. They also include going out to a restaurant and indulging at a restaurant, maybe a nice juicy McMenamin's burger. Those are things I enjoy, and I also understand that they're providing me extra calories and that maybe I don't need that day, or other nutrients. But I only do it sometimes. So that's really my approach, is I say, well, those are sometimes foods. And as long as we only eat them sometimes, then they're probably not going to interfere with our healthy lifestyles. How often do you think I can go out and have a juicy burger and tots without it messing up my healthy eating lifestyle?
Once a month.
Once a month. Woo. Okay. I usually get once a week that we could have ice cream once a week. We could go out and have a hamburger once a week. We could drink a bunch of soda once a week. But kind of keeping it at that sometimes
Yeah.
level.
I
And
don't
so maybe
disagree
it's
with
a
once a week.
I'll take once a week.
Yes.
and I mean that's once a week that includes everything. So maybe once a month it's a hamburger and once a month it's ice cream, right? But broken down, if day by day, week by week, I'm eating, whole grains, fruits and veggies, dairy products, lean proteins, healthy fats, nutrient dense, rich foods. And I'm listening to my body and I'm not eating more than I need to, and I'm eating just the right amount and I feel great. And then I want to go out on the weekend to a restaurant and order fettuccine Alfredo and have a glass of wine and yes, eat the bread, right? I don't think that's really going to mess me up, even if I keep doing it every weekend. I don't know. So that's how I approach that sometimes.
I really like sometimes.
Like at dinner time, I'm sitting down at dinner, and my doctor has told me that I need to eat in moderation. And then we get all of the social media that's telling us low carb, high protein, and skewing our perception of moderation. Because if what I thought was moderate and low is better, then where is that? Or high is better, then where is that? And so I just, yeah. Even with our purposeful foods that we have for our meals, the idea of moderation has gotten so confusing.
It's so much to wade through, right? As a consumer, as an eater, and just having this conversation, I'm just grateful that you're out there in a private practice so people can help tease this out.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day on my run, I was like, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to call it How to Eat Like a Normal Person. That'll be my diet book, right? How to Eat Like a Normal Person. What if I feel like having cereal in the morning? What's a moderate amount of cereal? How do I know? How can I trust my body to tell me that? I think these are probably the biggest questions that chronic dieters have.
Yeah.
How can I trust myself?
It feels like really high stakes to trust yourself.
All foods fit is what got me here in the first place. But now I'm trying to eat in moderation and I'm totally confused as to what that means. So, with the big four, we don't prescribe grams and amounts and portions to people because life is not does not come with a label. And we don't always have a scale nearby to weigh our food out or a measuring cup to measure it. Nor would we want to. So I teach people to eat meals and snacks that have some carbs, plenty of fiber, and enough fat and protein for them. And while some people may not have very good definitions for those words, I bet nobody would describe a hamburger like that. Nobody is going to say that a hamburger has some carbs and plenty of fiber, right? They're going to say, well, a hamburger has some carbs because there's a bun, maybe a teeny tiny bit of fiber because it's got that piece of lettuce and tomato. Probably has plenty of fat, especially if I'm getting a cheeseburger and I got my mayo and maybe even some bacon, plenty of fat, and probably enough protein. So already, we have decided that this hamburger is maybe not a balance that's going to contribute to me feeling full with the right amount of energy for me. And so, if I can say, okay, well, what would turn my hamburger meal into something that was more balanced and so that it was more moderate? Because, Meredith, I can eat a hamburger and all the tots, no problem. But that's definitely more food than I need, right? So if I want to enjoy a hamburger, but I want to be full and not have eaten more than I needed, then I'm going to revisit the idea of having some carbs, check, plenty of fiber. Oh, that's where I'm falling short with this one. So maybe I'll reach over, I'll grab an apple, I'll eat an apple, I'll eat a burger, I'll be full. I'll probably have landed much closer to the energy needs I had for that moment. And so just kind of looking at moderation more from a balance perspective
Yeah.
and loosening up on how many grams you're trying to achieve at each meal, because that is crazy making. And just going with some carbs, plenty of fiber, and enough fat and protein. And if you can honestly describe your meal like that, I bet you're pretty close.
Fantastic. It's such an amazing way to look at things because there's no judgment and there's wiggle room in those words, you know? I like that it's not precise and you can learn what it means to you.
What it means to you exactly, because if I'm, working with somebody who runs around on the job site all day, they're going to need a lot more energy than the person who sits behind the computer all day. The person who sits behind the computer might be in meetings all day and have a very tight schedule for when they have the opportunity to eat something. Versus the person who's running around all day and kind of can pick and snack and grab what they need. And so I think it is different for everybody. And so some carbs, to the person who's running around in the field might look different than the sum carbs for somebody sitting at the desk.
That's great. So, kind of what I've heard us talk about today around the idea of the right way to eat, eating for moderation, is, developing awareness of your habits and patterns and learning to trust or remember what hunger and fullness or discovering what hunger and fullness feels like to you. And becoming comfortable with sometimes as a way to have your cake and eat it too, but sometimes so that there's not a negative impact to your health in the long term and you're not deprived. Thank you for joining us today. We are here to share our stories and our expertise with you so that you can eat well, stress less about food, and find smarter, not harder ways to nourish yourself and the ones you love.
If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or anything you'd like to share, send us an email or connect with us on social media. Links are all in the show notes.
Connect with Meredith on her blog, savvydietitian.com.
Download the Eating is a Lifestyle app now, available in the App Store. You can help us spread these messages by telling a friend about this podcast and sharing on social media.
Until next time, eat well and enjoy your life with food too.